Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS on 104.1 FM KMOX. Is that John Pertzborn? John Pertzborn on the stream? Is that Pertz?
I think so. The service we use, it's hard to click on people's profiles.
You can't stalk them?
No.
Damn it. Because Pertzborn owes me money.
Let me stalk them through my phone.
That's okay.
Oh, no.
It's a John Pertzborn.
This is my hobby, dude.
This is what you do? You're a stalker?
I am an investigator.
Maybe it's an impersonator.
Yeah, maybe it's Matt Chambers pretending to be John Pertzborn.
Oh, wouldn't that be a game?
That's definitely John.
It's an Impertzborn mater.
Yeah, don't do that again.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah.
That wasn't Amy.
Go back to the wife stuff. That was gold. That was gold. That's pretty cool. John Pertzborn listening.
He said, how much money?
What you got?
I think he means from you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he's barking at the wrong tree there. I already have enough dependents.
We don't even have lights on in the building.
Yeah. All the lights are out.
The struggle is real around here.
Yeah. Can they see that? I guess.
No.
Yeah,
not really. You can tell if you watch every day, you can tell that the window behind Dave is pure darkness instead of bustling.
Yeah, the
newsroom.
Whole office is just black.
Weirdly enough, we are like the only room in the building that has like lights and power.
Yeah, that's the way it should be.
But the bathroom lights are on. Like inside there, that's like on, so they must be on the generator too.
It's odd.
Thinking ahead, man.
Really odd. Kev, you have a stairway?
Sure. A couple different ways we can go. We can do a new sports innovation thing, or we can talk about mindfulness.
Let's do mindfulness.
So I saw, I pulled the audio, but I don't think I want to play it because we probably had to edit it a little bit. I saw a stand-up comic yesterday, just a little clip on TikTok talking about mindfulness and how you never heard the term mindfulness until recently, because every time you were just not doing something, you were not doing something, right? You weren't just like distracted. So he's like, when you're, you know, I think the way he put it was like, you're in the crapper. Well, that's it. That's what you were doing. You weren't texting. You weren't reading. You weren't scrolling. You were just like, you're in the moment. And I wanted to ask you guys, because he's obviously being funny, but also making a point. Did that actually equate to mindfulness? Like when you're waiting in line at the DMV, were you sitting there like, I am totally in the moment right now and I'm taking it? No, you were daydreaming, right?
Yeah. And bored.
And bored, right. But mostly you were just thinking about something else.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing as scrolling, isn't it? Is it different if you're scrolling inside your head versus scrolling on your phone?
Different, but the same process.
This is what I mean, right. I mean, yes, it's a different, I'm sure it hits different parts of your brain, and I'm sure you get a different hit of the dopamine rush on certain things, some things compared to others. But I don't think we've ever been undistracted. And I thought it was interesting because he was making the point that, you know, we were mindful of what was going on around us back then, but were we? Were we really? Because I don't remember being mindful in those moments as a kid or as a high school person or whatever. I was daydreaming about something, nothing happening at the moment.
See, when I think of mindfulness, I think of like, okay, pretend this Red Bull is hot tea.
Right.
Like I'm making my hot tea and I'm enjoying every aspect of it and I'm really engaged in it and I'm pouring the hot water over the tea leaves and now I'm just letting it steep and I'm smelling it. To me, when I think of mindfulness, that's mindfulness. Or if I'm taking a walk, I am assertively, passively engaging in the beauty of nature. It's not just like I'm sitting at the DMV and I don't have my phone.
Right, but if you're walking through, let's just say you're taking that walk through nature, if you're looking around like, man, there's birds there, and I'm looking at, wow, that tree's cool. Oh, look, they got a dog over there. That's one thing. But if you're just walking down the street and you're like, man, what a game last night. Can you believe? I mean, like, it depends on, like, it. Just because you don't have the physical distraction of a phone doesn't mean you're focused on the moment.
Well, we're getting back to the whole inner dialogue.
Right.
A lot of people, as I understand it, because I'm the opposite, I'm just a thunderstorm of thoughts, that people don't really have many thoughts when they are alone without stimulation, which blows me away.
Kevin poses such an interesting question, because it's like, yeah, you can daydream and be deep in a daydream, and that's not necessarily mindfulness. But when you compare it with the kind of stuff you're looking at on your phone, I think there's a difference between, like, I'm going to read STL Today on my phone while I sit in this waiting room, or I'm going to watch a Skibidi toilet video. Like, if you've ever seen one of those that the kids are always talking about.
Oh, they're crazy.
They're like, it's like, no wonder all these studies come out and say kids don't have an attention span or anything anymore, because that kind of thing, it's just so bizarre and so, like, mind-melting and mindless. Like, I just think all phone content isn't created equal. So I think there's a way to be mindful and still be on your phone. But there's other stuff where it's like, that is pure trash, and we should probably try to limit that as much as possible.
It's also an argument that adults made about comic books 100 years ago. It was the almost word for word what we say now about your phone or whatever. I mean, it was exactly the same tone that people are too distracted by these little things. Whether it's the penny, like, what do they call those? The penny dreadfuls, like the little short novelettes that people, yeah, they don't have any attention span anymore because they're watching, they're reading all these little short stories instead of reading a book.
What I would find fascinating is if we could travel back in time to the early comic book days with an MRI machine and let people read comic books.
Yeah, and see if the brain thing
is
the same.
Because you and I reading a comic book now, our brain, I would think, my hypothesis is, our brain would light up differently than someone in 1920.
Right.
Because in 1920, you have such a desert of stimulation compared to today. So I would imagine that maybe them reading a comic book would light up their brain the way us scrolling would today.
Because it would have been that would new, have been that exciting, new, fascinating thing. And
yeah.
Just along this same lines, I saw, I didn't mark it down, but there was a tweet from that Pessimist Archive that I really like. They do a podcast and they talk about these types of things, that like the old way of doing things has always feared the new way. It's like the old media always feared new media. So newspapers were killing comic books and novelettes back in the day.
Yeah.
Same idea, being that it rots your brain and it's not serious enough. And now if you're reading a comic book, it's quite a bit more respected, wouldn't you say?
Dave,
like,
says
you're
kind
of think of a throwback.
Dave says, I was always wondering about the same useless crap that I Google now.
Yeah, right. That's a good point, Dave. It's like you would sit there and you would try to remember, when did that happen? Or how many home runs did he hit that year? But now you just be like, what was that? And you look it up, as opposed to just sitting there trying to figure it out.
Kind of miss the days of figuring stuff out.
Sometimes, but I don't miss those days at all. I'm happy that all my friends can answer those things on their phones.
Like, a lot of times,
I used to get calls all the time from the bar like, hey, we're having an argument, you settle it.
On the show, I will ask questions of you guys that I could clearly Google. But it's just more fun.
Yeah.
Sure,
not
it's a conversation. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, in a group of people, I think it's more fun to just talk about it. And then if nobody knows, really, you pull out the phone and you can Google it.
You want a cool science thing?
Yes.
So if you want an intelligent coverage of this, you can Google this article. But the Webb telescope has imaged a single galaxy from 330 million years after the Big Bang. Problem is, there are no galaxies from 330 million years after the Big Bang. It was still hydrogen and oxygen.
So they hadn't formed yet.
And so the hypothesis is it's some sort of a reflection of another universe.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah.
Like that.
Me likey.
I love that. I mean, I don't think there's any question that there's more than we know. It's just a question of whether is it interdimensionality? Is it just another, like, are we a universe inside a universe? Or are there universes inside this one? Like, it's all too complicated to know at this point, but the math suggests that all those things are possible.
You know, you wonder, you look at our trajectory of technology, understanding, and knowledge. And, I mean, we had the Renaissance, no pun. Yeah. I was going to say we had a real Renaissance during the Greek period, but, you know, we had a real Renaissance. And then we had the Dark Ages. And then we had the Industrial Revolution, then the Technological Revolution, now AI, quantum physics.
Quantum mechanics.
You wonder whether now that we've picked up speed, we're really going downhill, if it will continue like this, and 100 years from now, we'll know 1,000 times what we do now, or if we're going to kind of habituate, if we'll sort of slow down a little bit, like, yeah, we've learned a lot.
I don't know that we can slow down. You know, I mean, it's not really in the human nature, right? Our human nature has always been to advance.
Yeah, we've never gone, in terms of technological.
Well, we had a few hundred years there. Which, another, you want to hear another cool thing? Google this. There are a lot of scholars who believe that we invented like 300 or 400 years during the Dark Ages. That like a king and a pope or something like that just said like, oh, it's the year 1000. They wanted to make it the year 1000 because they thought that was cool. But it was really like the year 660 or something like that.
Mm.
And that is why you have hundreds of years where nothing happened, because those hundreds of years didn't happen. Again, conspiracy theory, but one that a lot of academia believe in.
Hmm.
And John Pertzborn.
Oh.
Yeah, he's the one who told me about it.
Is that what he meant about the dollar signs?
That's it.
Professor of medieval studies.
Was that code for you?
Little known fact.
You don't need to know this.
Speaking of conspiracy
theories. What happens if Fox 2 stays a Fox?
Speaking of conspiracy theories, did you see the study that shows that 3 out of 4 Gen Zers believe in a conspiracy theory?
No.
We talked about this.
No.
I just thought, like, of course, that's the result of being raised on the internet, is you're just exposed to
Phoebe
so many.
Glover is a huge conspiracy theorist.
Really?
You've mentioned this.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, she thought birds weren't real for a long time.
So she fell for that guy's prank?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
even that guy didn't really believe that. He was just being goofball.
Yeah. I mean, I'll never forget, we're having dinner one night, and she's like, well, you know birds aren't real. And I was like, oh, for the love of God.
Yeah. I mean,
what are they teaching you at KU?
Well, you know, I understand the draw to conspiracy theories.
They're fun.
It's one of the reasons why I got into them as a hobby, and I like read all about the big ones and try to learn about it. Because first of all, there have been conspiracies in history. They have happened. But I think it's pretty hard to say that you think everything is tied into a conspiracy, right? You know, and a lot of times it's just people who don't understand a thing trying to find an explanation that makes sense to them, because you don't fundamentally understand the thing that's actually going on.
Well, I mean, nature abhors a vacuum. And so if there's a vacuum of knowledge, we're going to fill it with stuff, and we're typically going to fill it with fun stuff. It's more
intrigue.
It's more fun to think that the CIA or the mob killed Kennedy than Oswald acting alone. It's just more interesting. And so if you can fill it with the Warren Report, or you can fill it with UFOs, or Jack Ruby was, Sleestak or whatever, like, that's more fun.
It doesn't help the case for people that are not conspiracy theorists. It doesn't help, though, when you can look at that same time period and see that the Joint Chiefs put forward a plan to the President of the United States to shoot down a plane to blame it on Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they threw out maybe a passenger jet, and then they're like, oh, no, let's do a dummy jet. That way we don't have to actually kill anybody. We can just make these people up, and they don't really exist.
That's better.
Like, that happened.
Yeah.
We know it happened.
Yeah.
So it's at that same time period. So I understand that need, but we got to be focused more on what we can prove, not what we think makes sense.
Under that whole that happened thing, this morning I was watching the news, and they were showing these, it was a grandma and her two granddaughters who appeared to be, you know, like elementary school age, who had been stuck under a hospital collapsed in Southeast Asia since it happened. And they were filming themselves, and all they had was the light of their camera, and they're just on the bottom floor with a whole building on top of them for like 3 or 4 days, and they had like one bottle of water. Like, that happened to a human.
Yeah.
That, like, I always think, like, well, that tree can't really fall in my house because that would be so terrible. No. Anything can happen to anyone at any time. And it's just happenstance or the grace of God that we're not under a building right now. So we have no lights in here.
It's crazy.
That's not happening to everybody out there.
But we have lights in here, though.
See, there you go.
Conspiracy. We did it.
Best of little fun facts.
Okay.
Drew Barrymore does not find Mr. Clean sexy. She says, quote, "It's like he is pumped and ready for action, and I feel uncomfortable when I see him because he is so sexual."
Is he so sexual?
I've never thought of him being so sexual.
Oh, I have.
Oh?
Really?
Yeah, you can, I mean, look at him. He's very intense, I think, with the way that he looks and the way that he, like, acts.
You know, he's a cartoon.
I mean, I'm just saying, I get where Drew's coming from. He's a little too intense for my liking, and that can be interpreted in various different ways.
You and Drew.
It's a little funny coming from Drew Barrymore, who's constantly in people's personal space.
No kidding.
Like, you need to simmer down, girlfriend.
Have you seen the John Boyega stuff with Star Wars?
No.
Says that Star Wars is the most whitest elite space ever in Hollywood, and that fans have trouble with black characters playing anything but a white person's best friend.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought I heard that he was supposed to have a different story arc, and they kind of chickened out and made him more of a side character.
Hmm.
Yeah, they definitely bailed on his arc in the third movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he was showing some force abilities in early on in that trilogy, and in the first episode was a much bigger part of it. And then the third part of it, you're like, where did all that go? What happened?
Yeah, maybe he has a point.
Yeah, I don't disagree with him. I think the Star Wars fandom is... I think it's a result of it being so big.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
It's arguably, I think, like the biggest group of people who are like really passionate about something.
Yeah.
And that just leads to,
it's going
to
include some racists.
It's going to include some good people. Yeah. It's going to include some bad people, some very stupid
people.
That's
a great point. Like, it's just a huge group of people. But, like, you know, George Lucas hasn't helped a lot of that. Just look at how the early movies were. Like, all the bad guys had foreign accents. You know, I mean, like, just the way that certain villains are portrayed, everything was always kind of like, what's he doing
Isn't
there?
So interesting that here on Earth, anyone can be an alien if you have a British accent. It's just like, we just decided that. I just accept it. Like, you know, I'm watching Star Trek and someone has a British accent. I'm like, oh, they're not from here. Dinosaurs existed before flowers. Scientists believe that flowering plants evolved as a response to dinosaurs because plants needed protection against vegetarian dinosaurs.
Oh?
So when the dinosaurs were here, there were no flowers.
So the flowers made them not eat the plant?
I guess.
Yeah. That's interesting.
You got one more fun fact?
I do, and this one, I struggled with this morning. 1 pound of dimes and 1 pound of quarters are worth the same amount. 200 dimes weigh 1 pound and are worth $20. 80 quarters weigh 1 pound and are worth $20.
That's cool.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. It's dark in here. All the lights are out in the entire Odyssey building other than our studio, so we could keep working. Pretty out there. Really gorgeous day. Dave, that's not going to last much longer, right?
No, but how are all the lights out except for your studio?
You got me.
We're on the backup.
There's a generator.
Maybe.
Yeah. Michael, the computers are working too. Just the overhead lights are out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Calhoun posted a video but he also posted a photo on Twitter of the backup batteries that are keeping KMOX on the air right
there
now.
You
if you'd like to go check it out.
Very cool.
We got to keep you guys on the air no matter what.
Yes.
It is imperative.
Yes. Yes. No one wants us going home early.
No. All right. We have a couple of interesting weather events coming up. So I want to break both of them down. There's nothing much going on tonight other than clouds taking over, and it's windy. It's been windy most of the day, a little bit cool. We'll stay in the 50s tonight. Now, tomorrow, interesting day because we have a cold front on the way. Changeable sky with a mix of clouds and sunshine, gusty winds throughout the day with scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon on Wednesday, looking for a high of 78. So a lot warmer. Now, the key points for Wednesday afternoon. The hardcore action, and I'm talking about big-time severe weather, will be across southeast Missouri and southern Illinois, not here in St. Louis. So let's think of a line from Farmington, Chester, Pinckneyville to Lake Carlisle, south and east of that line. That's going to be the hardcore severe weather. We will, though, see some showers and thunderstorms around prime time, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., but I'm not expecting a lot of severe weather. A couple of them could go strong, no question about that. But the hardcore stuff off to our south and to our east. Could it affect the ball game? Certainly. It's a possibility, but I don't think it gets rained out. The second event starts on Thursday, and most likely Thursday afternoon. What's going to happen is this cool front coming through tomorrow evening, gets stuck off to our south and to our east, and then it waves around. Really unusual for April to get something stuck. And we're going to go into periods of rain Thursday afternoon, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and into Sunday morning. So it's a long-lasting event. But once again, it looks like the real heavy stuff is going to be southeast Missouri and southern Illinois. Here in St. Louis, we could see during that whole time, Thursday through Sunday morning, we could see 2 to 3, 2 to 4 inches of rain. A lot of rain. That's a concern for certainly the small streams and creeks. However, southeast Missouri, southern Illinois could see 5 to 8 plus inches of rain, and there will be widespread flooding down there off to our southeast and to our east. And then everything should break Sunday afternoon. So it's a very unusual weather pattern, quite active.
Yeah. So the real bad stuff's going to be down south.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I think in both events, that's the way to look at it. Southeast Missouri, southern Illinois, and points, you know, Arkansas, yeah. Kentucky, Tennessee, places like that, the Ohio Valley.
So, Dave, you're not just my weatherman. You're my botanist and my landscaper. Would this be a good week?
I thought
week?
It was more than that.
And look, friend.
We had our time. We've talked about this. Would this be a good time to throw some grass seed down or too much water?
You know what? I'm going to have you hold off because I think we could have too much water and a lot of it get washed away. Okay. Let's not waste that money.
That's why I ask it. That's good. Good advice. Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right. There was a lost Loch Ness Monster camera from 1970 that has been accidentally found by Bodie McBoatface. So let's back up.
Am I asleep right now?
No, you're not. This is real life.
I remember this.
An underwater camera from 1970 that was submerged to capture evidence of the Loch Ness Monster has been discovered by the United Kingdom's National Oceanography Center's autonomous underwater vehicle, Bodie McBoatface. You remember when they named Bodie McBoatface?
I do.
The camera was part of the Loch Ness Investigation Bureau's attempt to use underwater photography in their search for Nessie. The camera trap was triggered by a bait line and took around 24 film exposures, but no evidence of Nessie was found in the pictures. But I still think that's pretty cool. This was kind of lost for years and years.
Really cool.
Since 1970, Bodie McBoatface found it, and there was no Nessie evidence, but still kind of a neat story.
Really cool.
They already went through 55 years worth of footage. Come on now.
I'm trying to figure this out. Like, 'cause I've always been interested in all the cryptids and things along those lines. Are there not, like, water-penetrating radar setups or sonar where you can, like, see if something's in there?
Sure.
Like, could you not just fly over the whole damn lake? It's not that big.
Well, I do. Actually.
Nessie is stealth.
It is actually the problem, as I've always understood it as a Nessie enthusiast, is that Loch Ness is actually extremely large and extremely vast, very, very deep. So it may not be as easy as just, like, flying over it and blasting.
Okay, but
sonar
it's not an ocean. We've gone and looked at a lot of big areas in an ocean to find shipwrecks and things like that. Right? And they're deep too.
But as Dave Murray points out, Nessie is stealth. Nessie does not want to be found.
How does Nessie know if there's stuff in the sky scanning the water?
Because she's smart.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't know they had like
now you know.
Now they know they have like sonar reflective skin. You're not bouncing those sound waves off me,
smart
boys.
Smart plesiosaur.
I know Dave wants to find Bigfoot really badly.
Found.
What's
Saw.
That?
I found him.
Well, I know. But like you would like evidence of Bigfoot. I don't even know if I want evidence of Nessie.
I do.
I want them to leave Nessie alone.
Okay, let's be real. If Nessie surfaced and we got her, we're going to cut her up.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
No, they're not. Until she's dead.
She'll be dead first.
And how long do we think these things live?
Oh, there's more than one.
There'd have to be.
What do they eat?
It's got to be a community.
What do they eat?
Fish, dingus.
How much fish does a thing that size have to eat?
There's a lot of fish. It's a big lake, dude. I don't know why you have it in your head that it's like That it's like a pond at a park. It's like an enormous, massive, it's like a sea almost.
I think
huge.
It's the most fresh water in Great Britain.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the UK.
Big lake, dog.
Okay, it's the size basically of Lake Michigan.
That's a big lake.
I'm not saying it's small. I'm saying it's like 1 million.
You might even call it great.
It's like 1 millionth of an ocean.
We don't find stuff in the ocean either. It took like 2 weeks of constant searching a very concentrated area in the ocean to find the Titan submersible.
If you put a camera in the ocean, you're going to see all kinds of things.
Well, this was a camera from 1970 that only took 24 film exposures.
Yeah, I hope it exists. It'd be great. I've seen wildlife experts and people that understood like dinosaur biology and the amount that you have to have a certain number to carry any kind of population forward. You can't just survive with two and then have a baby and now all of a sudden you're going to have a population that lasts for hundreds of years.
Well, you're the expert.
I'm quoting them. You can Google it, bro.
I love
he broed him.
And then on top of that, you got to have enough food to support the entire colony. And all we get are tiny little glimpses.
Now you sound like a skeptic.
Everybody's been watching this lake for how many years now?
I love how mad Wheels is and then how mad Andrew is getting as he argues with him.
Man.
All right, moving on. Tourism to the U.S. is set to see declines. According to a World Travel and Tourism Council, tourism in America is a $1 trillion industry, contributing about $2.36 trillion to the country's GDP in 2023. Also has a major impact on our jobs report, making up around 11%. But experts are saying now that because of, the tariff stuff kind of sowing bad will, mm-hmm. we could lose anywhere between 60 to 120 billion U.S. dollars in 2025 in the tourism industry.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it before. Trump could be completely right about this stuff. I don't think he is, but he could be. But it is definitely ruining our relationship with the world. Maybe he brings it back. Maybe we're good guys again. But right now, I don't feel like we're good guys. For the first time.
The White House is going to cut down a tree thought to be planted by Andrew Jackson. It's a southern magnolia, and it was believed to have been planted by Jackson in honor of his late wife. It's a prominent feature near the White House entrance. President Trump stated that the tree poses a safety hazard and will be replaced with another one, and the wood from the old tree may be repurposed for something else in the White House. They pruned this tree in 2017, and it was damaged in a 1994 plane crash on the White House grounds.
Weird.
Yeah. Sad to see any tree cut down, but this is like a
I hope they've done everything
one.
They can. That kind of sucks.
I'm sure they have, because isn't Trump like a huge fan of Andrew Jackson?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be cutting down his tree just for no reason.
Yeah.
Let's do one more story here for headlines. The Yum Brand CEO David Gibbs is going to retire in 2026. Yum Brands is KFC, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut.
Andrew, there you go.
Under Gibbs' leadership, Yum Brands expanded its store count and saw a surge in annual sales, with shares rising about 56% during his tenure. So he's stepping down next year.
I love it. Dave says, ooh, we already got a bro and it's only 3:45.
Only.
And Robert says, fish dingus.
That's a good line, Andrew. That was a really good line.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
350 DGS on the other side of the top of the hour break. We have the think tank. We do it every Tuesday at 4. Alderman Joe Vollmer and the head of elections in St. Charles County, Kurt Barr, are going to be here. Lots to talk about. Wheels, can you kind of lay out the whole Ole Miss ESPN thing going on?
Yeah, so for those that haven't seen it, there's a story in The Athletic by Katie Strang, who is obviously a great reporter. There's going to be, I don't think it's in action yet, but there's going to be a lawsuit against Pat McAfee and ESPN and a few other outlets, including maybe some folks in town.
Yeah.
Based on false rumors that the girlfriend of Ole Miss's quarterback, so the quarterback's name is Jackson Dart. He's not really named in the story, but everybody knows who we're talking about. And Pat McAfee linked the name with it because he was doing this leading into a draft segment. But Pat McAfee went on ESPN and spread a rumor from Ole Miss that Jackson Dart's girlfriend had slept with his dad. Like, that was the rumor. So this freshman in college, 18, 19-year-old girl, has lived with this rumor mill being amplified by the worldwide leader and by Pat McAfee with one of the most popular shows out there in the sports space. And other people ran with this. Again, rumor. This started on an app called Yik Yak. It didn't start with a newspaper investigation. It didn't start with an eyewitness report. It started just on some stupid app, and then it started to get some legs on social media, and all of a sudden now these big personalities are reporting it, and this girl's life is ruined. I mean, she can't leave her dorm room. She had to take her name off the outside of her dorm room. She walks through campus, and guys catcall her and call her all kinds of different things because people believe that, because when you see it on ESPN, when you're seeing it all over the place, people believed this rumor. But there was never anything backing it up. There was no police report, investigation, court case, nothing. It was a rumor that was spread.
Gossip.
Gossip that was spread. Who knows for what reason? And they are, by the way, they are. Her lawyers are trying to figure out who started it. They're going to be using forensic internet experts to see if they can figure out where it started and who was the person that put it out there. So now all of these outlets are facing probably a pretty significant lawsuit here, because they've ruined this teenage girl's life. For what? This is what I don't understand. This is where people that are in, as a sports guy, this is where I don't understand what people in sports are doing. If you're doing a sports show, why are you tweeting about some girl and what she may or may not have done
sexually
in the bedroom? What does that have to do with anything to do with your job? But again, it gets attention. It gets likes. And I think Barstool's another one named in this because a couple of their people were amplifying it on social media. And like, we're in a position now where some of these really powerful people, and I mean powerful in terms of influence, can just take a complete rumor that's made up and run with it. And now this teenage girl's life is ruined. This is what she's going to. And I was mentioning this before, like if this happened, you know, and none of these outlets picked it up, right? It may have been a rumor on campus. It may have been a rumor amongst the people that heard about it at Ole Miss. And she could leave and go to another school and those other people would never know about it. And she would be herself again. This is now nationwide. She can't go to any college. She's still that same girl. Her name is attached to this. And I can't get past how we've gotten to the point where big networks like ESPN are okay with this kind of content being put out there. And if they're not okay with it, why aren't you limiting the people that want to put it out there?
Rach?
I'm just struggling to understand what Pat McAfee or any of these people even get out of repeating the rumor.
Engagement.
Engagement, right. People freak out, so they're going to tweet it and they're going to see it, and because it's got that kind of appeal. And he did it under the guise of talking about the NFL draft to see if this kind of thing would impact the player's stock, which is such a joke.
So you're ruining a teenage girl's life.
For clicks.
For clicks.
Yeah.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.